This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, we've been enjoying the open phone lines, 206-421-3776. Doing a lot more of this recently and trying to get you guys to be a bigger part of the show because we like hearing from you and like giving you guys a voice in what we're doing every day. It is Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. But today I kind of like it even more than normal because there are a few big stories and a few big subjects out there. And whenever, you know, we talk baseball and not football, talk basketball and not baseball, talk football and not basketball, we always hear from somebody or many people saying, why are you talking about this? Why aren't you talking about what I want to talk about? Well, here you go. Here's your shot. We're going to open this up, and essentially the majority get to dictate, because whatever it is you're calling about, that's what we'll spend a few minutes talking about. So if you are a big football fan and you want to weigh in on this whole Brian Schottenheimer thing and whether or not the Seahawks running the ball is stupid, as was suggested in USA Today, then you're welcome to jump in on that. 206-421-3776. If you're a Mariner fan and you just want to hear more Mariner talk, well, they won last night. Let's talk a little bit more about them and what you like and what you think is going to happen. If you're a basketball fan and you're mad because I don't like basketball and we don't talk enough about it, well, jump in, man. Here's your shot to talk about game one of the finals last night. 206-421-3776 is the number.
Yeah, when we started this about a month ago, I kind of liked how you set it up. Because you've got a large part of your being that enjoys debate.
Of course.
First and foremost, within your own head.
The biggest part.
You love to argue with yourself about just about everything, and that's just where which is better has always come in. So the seed of this, and what I always find fascinating, and maybe some of you that don't get used to calling radio shows or you've never done it, take me into your sports debate.
Give me this argument.
Everybody likes it, but guess what? Mike Salk don't. The contrarian part.
No, I just like arguing, and this is your chance to make the argument you've been trying to make for a while.
Yep. You literally just said no. You argued with me playing that. Like, no, I like arguing.
Well,
okay?
It was the everybody likes it part that I was arguing. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No, it proved the point. It's good.
It's very effective.
Give me the argument you've been trying to make. 206-421-3776. This isn't about me. It's about you.
That's right.
Terrell. I don't know. Terrell in Seattle. Go ahead.
Yeah, Terrell, bro.
Terrell. Sorry, man. Go ahead, Terrell.
Oh, my God. Can somebody please tell me why this bonehead, J.R. Smith, didn't go back up with the layup, bro, after the rebound?
You know why?
I don't know why, but I want to
because he didn't know the score. He thought he was up.
How, bro? I mean, what did it really fucking take a wear off?
I don't know.
Oh my God, bro! But does that mistake overshadow what LeBron did and take away the momentum that they need in this NBA series? Though
yes, of course it does.
Sadly, yes, that becomes a whole topic. Not the 51 points he scored, Terrell. Which,
he
by the way,
51?
Was he scored 51.
Yeah,
which
nobody cares. The only thing that matters is Jared.
There are only six guys in the history of the NBA Finals that have scored 51. They all won, but LeBron's team didn't win, and it's really hard to win.
Did you see the guy's tweet the other day? We talk about it, about how LeBron's teammates are going to have to get progressively worse until eventually he's trying to win with a zebra, a potato, a toaster oven, and something else.
Yes.
Well, the toaster oven would have been better than J.R. Smith yesterday.
Yeah.
The toaster oven would at least know the score. A potato at least is smart enough to know the score and to look at the scoreboard, right?
It's remarkable.
It really is.
I tried to, and we asked Chris Carson about it. Like, just as a teammate, what do you say? You know, and LeBron, can you play that sound, Big Kyle? LeBron on the podium last night in the press conference asked a ton about it. And, you know, the press trying to dig, and they've got a lot of info, and they know that they could read his lips during the game action when he said, I thought we were ahead, and here's LeBron being pestered about
it. What's your reaction to it? What's your version?
What do you mean, what's my version?
Well, did he think that the game was tied, or did he think that you guys had it salted away?
How do I know that?
Or did you discuss it at all with him at the end of the play?
No. They asked me if I talked to JR about it. I said no already.
I was just trying to see if you knew exactly what his state of mind was. Did he think that you guys had it won, or did he think he was trying to make a play? Not sure.
What do you mean I'm not sure? No, I don't know his state of mind.
Did you know if he knew the score?
I like trying to get him to answer his state of mind. Like, that guy's got a state of mind? It's blank. It's always blank. It's J.R. Smith. I don't even watch the NBA. I know he doesn't have a state of mind. He's just out there running around back and forth.
You know what, though, man? There is a little line here. And Damon and I talk about this, and different teammates. He even heard yesterday in the Northwest Football Hall of Fame, where Matt Hasselbeck and Mike Holmgren got inducted, Napoleon Kaufman and a number of others, John Nordstrom, got inducted yesterday. And Holmgren saying, I had the hardest time with quarterbacks. Want to know why? Don't ask why. Just do what I tell you to say. And there's a beauty at times. Ignorance can be bliss with athletes.
Not like that. That is beyond ignorance is bliss. That's just straight up not knowing your situation in any way. That's bad situational basketball.
You think?
And it's whatever. 206-421-3776. Open phone line, so whatever it is you guys want to get to. Adam's in Seattle. Good morning, Adam. What argument do you want to make?
Good morning. This is my third time calling this week, and I got the best call to get on the board.
Oh, wow. The board has not changed yet today, and Brock's too far away.
No, I'm not. I am not.
All right. What do you got?
All right. It's time.
Yes, it is.
Come in on Monday's show, and all the focus and discussion and the buzz around the city will be the first place division-leading Mariner.
Ooh. Wow. Why do you say that?
Yeah, right now the Mariners are just one game back of the division-leading Astros.
Yeah.
They have a tough series with the Red Sox. They'll fall to them, and the Mariners will take care of business and sweep the Rays, and we'll be the first place in our division.
Wow.
Seattle is alive for the Mariners.
They sure will be if they come in on
Is
on
that
Monday.
Adam? Was that Adam way back? Was that you, Adam?
So.
That
no,
wasn't Adam.
Totally different.
Who
so.
Is that guy?
I don't know.
Has he called since?
Where are you?
Where? If that is you. If
who
you,
wait, in the wait. Heck is that guy on the mound? I couldn't figure it out.
That guy's gone.
If that is you out there listening right now, will you please call the station?
Offensive line. Where are you? I don't hear you.
I'm just that guy. All right.
I don't know if pleading to get
where
on the board
are you?
Is
yeah,
a good
I don't
thing.
Hear you.
I don't think it helps. And I kind of felt like he was reading the take a little bit. But this is not the Jim Rome show. This is not the jungle. We're not offering a vine. Right? Like, we're doing open phone lines, but reading your take.
Howdy, can you give me your you're the best Jim Rome in the business?
If you want to call now, get yourself in the jungle and on the board. These cats need to be calling the phones right now. Mash those meat clips, get on there, and go.
Meat clips? What is that? What are meat clips?
Dude, don't question the jungle.
Why do you mash meat clips? I don't even know what that means. 206-421-3776. Open lines, man. Anything you got, we're talking whatever you want to. Brett is in New York. What's up, Brett?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on the Felix Hernandez and the Jerry DePoto stuff. So I was a catcher for a really long time in baseball, and one of the biggest philosophies that you have to learn as a catcher is right or wrong, you have to make a decision. And right now, Scott Serps and Jerry DePoto are sitting on their hands not making a decision, and that's worse than making the wrong decision.
What decision do you think they have to make?
So, A, you can make what I think is the wrong decision and come out to the media and say, hey, Felix Hernandez is a pro. He's been one of the best pitchers for a very long time, and we're going to back him up on his philosophy and basically back him up. Or you can make what I think is the right decision and bring Felix into a room, have a conversation with him, say, hey, you have to change your philosophy, or if we do make the playoffs, you're not going to be a playoff pitcher.
Let me give you option C. Both.
Okay.
Option C is both of those things. You said you've been in baseball a long time. Then you know the way baseball teams work. You bring him into a back room. You have that very serious conversation with him. You tell him enough is enough. And if you don't get on our program, you're not going to be around much longer. And yeah, we're even willing to eat the money and cut you. And then in person, and then that's what you say to him. Then you go out to the media and say, we're going to back Felix Hernandez forever. We're going to do everything in our power because he's a Hall of Fame pitcher and we love him and he's got carte blanche. Mm. But that doesn't mean that's what you really mean in behind the scenes. You do both of the things
that
you just said.
But what you need to do is actually go out to the media because Felix Hernandez is a pro. He knows how to talk to the media but not actually say anything to them. So you need to go out to the media because you already talked about before how a manager has called him out before and he's thrived. You have to do that because Shannon Dreher was talking about having a carrot.
Yep.
You need to get out the stick right now.
Hey, Brett, that's a solid call. You're and others receiving votes, but I do have one question. As a longtime catcher, when you watch Felix, does he look in between? Does he look stubborn to you right now? Is he not doing, in your estimation, the things that he can still be capable of doing as a pitcher?
Absolutely. He doesn't have the focus for what is going on. It's back to the carrot and the stick. He has had so many carrots thrown at him. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to get rid of him? No. Do you have another pitcher to replace him? No. So it doesn't matter if he has an 8 ERA. It doesn't matter. What you need to do is you need to tell him, hey, you're not going to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. I know you're not going to release him this year, but you need to let him know things. If like, it's not free anymore. You're not a one ERA all-star pitcher anymore.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Hey, Brett, congratulations, man. You just made the board. Yeah, you just made the board. You're number four on my board right now. I'm making the call.
Wow.
I pulled it out of my car. I don't need to wait for Howdy's jingle, anything
Congratulations.
Else.
Congratulations. You've made the top five.
Disagree on that.
Well, I'm not saying his premise was tremendous and every point was spot on, Mike, but it was the conviction behind it.
Wow.
It was listening to the show all week. It was quoting Shannon Dreyer, right? Yeah, way to go, Brett. You're number
four. I
love
it. Yeah. Brett sliding into the top four.
Hand me that sticker. Hand me that sticker.
I am not doing that. What? You can have it in a few minutes. Wow. 206. I'm concentrating.
Hey, all right, Dad.
I'm doing a show.
Will you multitask? No. It's magnetic. Just hand me it.
I have to lead the show. You just sit there with your pretty little head and do whatever it is you want, okay? I'm going to actually kind of lead the show
here,
the hard lifting over here.
2 hours and 20 minutes I've tried to build you up. I tried to affirm
garbage.
You.
Okay, I'm for 2 hours and 20
look,
minutes.
I'm out
of
my
seat. 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Yeah, you know
you're
what?
Adding 8 minutes
just,
to it. And for the most part you've been patronizing.
Just hush.
Steve is in Tacoma. Good morning, Steve. What argument have you been trying to make?
And he's number 5 in T-Town. Go ahead.
Good morning. I want to ask you for your opinion about a change to the NFL kickoff rule.
All right.
But I want to preface that by asking you to please clear your mind of all of that stuff about, oh, that's not football, we never did things this way, it's not tradition, and just get completely outside the box for a minute.
Okay.
One of the ways that returners get hurt on kickoffs is because there's all of their people on the field, there's all of the other people on the field. Somebody pops out from behind two of their guys, blindsides him, bam, injury, you got a problem. What if the field was decluttered a little bit? What if the kicking team started with 5 guys on the field, one of them the kicker? The other team starts with 4 guys on the field. The kicker leaves. That leaves it 4 against 3, 3 blockers, 4 defenders. It retains the speed and excitement of the kickoff, maybe even more so because there's more room, and it helps cut down on injuries. Now, just tell me if you think that's, frankly, a lot of these ideas I have are probably crazy.
Yeah.
But I keep coming back to this one because it makes a certain amount of sense.
I think you'd have 3 kickoff returns for touchdowns a game or more.
Yeah, there's so much space, and these guys are so
too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, they would work good in lower levels.
Yeah.
But I think if you were to allow, I mean, if you were, can you imagine Tyler Lockett with that much space?
No.
Can you imagine? I mean, everybody would take somebody like Cyril Grayson
correct.
On their team. And the fact that he can't really play football, or maybe he can, but you know
yes.
what I mean.
You break one tackle, you're gone. You're gone.
See you later.
Yes.
I mean, it would be one move and go.
But I'll tell you what, Steve, practical. In T-Town, I think Salk appreciates your mind.
I do. I like the outside the box thinking.
Yeah, constantly thinking. Yeah. You keep thinking, brother.
I like the outside the box
thinking. Thank you.
I think what the NFL is doing actually makes some sense. They're trying to cut down on the amount of speed generated before guys
correct.
Crash into
so my
other.
Buddy Chris Gray doesn't go frozen on the field
right.
in the, yeah, with all fours, like the dead bug look. Which he did,
yeah.
Which was, frankly, very scary because guys are running full speed and there's just that massive collision. So, nope, you can't run, no running start, and we're going to scoot everybody a little closer and you're going to joust for a little bit. And that guy in the back's going to have some room. So, Steve, down in T-Town, you're going to see these kick returners have a little bit more opportunity in a little bit more space with the guys jousting in front. And I think it's a good first
you're
step.
You're trying to avoid people taking a 20-yard head start and smashing heads right into each
correct.
Other, which seems like a pretty good way to get yourself a concussion. 206-421-3776. Let me repeat. You guys get the chance to control the show here, so this
yep.
is essentially for you, because you guys constantly complain about what we want to talk about, and it's not what you want to talk about, so we want to let you talk about the argument that you've been trying to make. This is all about you guys. 206-421-3776. Jason is in Mukilteo. Good morning, Jason.
Morning, guys.
Hey, man.
I'm going to a Mariners game this Sunday, and Felix is pitching.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm going to see him pitch in person, and I have a pit in my stomach. And I know that the conversation about Felix has been like what he has done for the organization. You kind of have a lame duck manager, but I think the conversation around Felix needs to switch. It needs to be, what have you done for me lately? And that's absolutely zilch. And Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto need to start doing things about it. I understand it's hard for a lame duck manager to do so, but maybe those are the moves, the bold moves that they need to make to get the contracts that they want, because he has not done anything for the Mariners lately.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think that. I appreciate your thought process. I don't think that's the way the world actually functions, though. Like, I absolutely appreciate what you're saying. I agree with all of it. I agree that it shouldn't be about what Felix has done in the past. But there is an element of what he's done currently that matters. I mean, I was listening to Danny David Moore yesterday. Danny pointed it out, I thought, smartly. It was just a couple of games ago. Yeah, Felix was bad in the first inning against Oakland. Then he set down 16 out of 17 after that, or whatever it was.
That's been a 2.5-year trend,
though. I understand he's not the same pitcher. I'm not trying to argue he is. All I'm trying to say is that there's something salvageable there.
Well, you told me yesterday he's got the second-best stuff. Right, I mean, you told me yesterday, point blank, when I tried to
they're not a heavy stuff starting rotation.
They're not, but every one of them's executed. In fact, Wade LeBlanc had the sixth best month of May in the history of this franchise.
Yeah,
Paxton had the fifth as far as ERA goes. Wade LeBlanc, when he starts, team goes 5-1, even though he got his first win yesterday.
Yeah,
you know, and when Felix goes, Mike, it's just not the execution nor the focus. Every pitch. Of every inning.
I agree with him that Scott and Jerry, like, this is a problem along with Mel Stottlemyre that they need to solve. I also think they need to be empowered to solve it. And that's what middle management is. Anybody who's worked in middle management, if you've got a problem with an employee below you, you need to be empowered by your bosses to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
No, most middle managers don't just make decisions willy-nilly, and that's not to say that Scott and Jerry don't have a lot of power. They do. But if you are a lame duck situation like they are both in, which is unique to begin with in baseball, in sports, it almost never happens. They should absolutely be empowered by their bosses to go make the decisions necessary.
And I would tell you, Jason, and I'll be just blunt and as honest as I can be, in years past with some of the managers, I'm kind of with you, man.
Mm.
And I, you know, we were talking about Don Wakamatsu just, two weeks ago, and early here as he's trying to find his way, and there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen in his ears, and, oh, Jose Lopez, I haven't talked to him about the move to third base, and like, oh, what? Like, where's your juice, man? Where you make that decision. You're the manager, and you could tell there were so many factors in play. I don't get the feeling that Jerry's risk tolerance.
He's willing to take risks.
Or that fear or what other people think or any of that. I think with he and Dad, like when that time comes and Felix is still not focused and not listening and it's start 13, 14, 15, like, okay, you know, where are you going to go in the DL? Maybe you're going to go on the DL for focus and your state of mind. Or whatever it may be, but we got to get you right.
Yeah. 206-421-3776. How about Jeff and Graham? Good morning, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up, man?
I don't want to be a top five caller. I prefer to be a bottom five caller. So, I'm calling to.
Could happen.
I have a little beef with Mike. Hey, how come on these great interviews you guys do on Tuesday with Jeff Passan and John Morosi, you seem like you cut these interviews so short? They're only like 7-8 minutes long. You seem like to rush them off the interview, and then you guys just talk for like 10 minutes. It seems like sometimes these interviewers, they want to continue talking, but you just cut them short. Just kind of curious why you do that.
I guess what I would suggest to you, I think, Jeff, that you are enjoying the interviews so much that you don't realize how long they are.
Because
they haven't been 7 minutes. They've been closer to 15. And that's about, you know, what kind of an interview.
We got what we call a clock manager, Jeff. His name is Kyle.
He yells at us.
Kyle's got really long arms. If you've ever seen those guys outside of the oil change place, Jiffy, the balloon man, that's what Kyle does.
Wacky inflatable balloon man.
He keeps us on the clock.
That's right.
Kyle, you're the only one that can answer this objectively.
I guess, factually speaking, the last interview was 17 minutes, 21 seconds.
Right. Yes.
The one before, 1902, 1335.
I think that means you like the interviews and they sound short to you. That's awesome. That's
14,
what we're going
11,
for.
18, 13, 12,
I think both
18.
Passing. All right. Both passing.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube, man.
Yes.
Both passing and Morosi have been great. We love having them on.
Those interviews move.
Glad you've been enjoying them also. All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
How about Jared, who is in Kennewick? Jared, go ahead. What do you want to say today? What argument do you want to make?
Well, a lot of my friends tell me that you can't correlate two sports, basketball, football. And I think that's baloney.
Agreed.
You can look at some of the same patterns. And currently, we have guys like Westbrook and Harden. They are the Peyton Manning. They're regular season warriors putting up Madden or NBA 2K-like numbers. I don't like Tom Brady. But give me 10, five Tom Bradys or five LeBron James. You'll win every time. Mm. Those guys are consistent in the playoffs, and that's why they're the greatest. But it's the same thing. They're postseason warriors. You get a lot of these, you know, basketball
stat
stuffers. You get a lot of show. You get a lot of big numbers, gaudy numbers. And don't get me wrong, LeBron knows how close he is to a triple-double. But he's also putting up 50 points and carrying his team with the equivalent of a dishwasher and a laundromat. I mean, they're awful.
They're bad. There's no doubt, man. They are bad. Thanks for the phone call. Let's see. I want to take a few texts here as well. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Which is worse, J.R. Smith's rebound or Chris Webber's timeout? Which was worse? Webber. Weber's is worse.
Timeouts?
Because of where to place.
No.
The history of
it. I don't think so.
People will forget
the magnitude,
about
the magnitude of that in the Final Four. Yes. Yeah. Game one, there's other stuff. But as far as the action itself, no. JR's looking at the scoreboard, right? Chris Webber's running down court. It's not just necessarily timeouts. Yep. No. That J.R. Smith from the act, much, much worse.
I got two texts about lame ducks. One says, what is a lame duck manager? And the other says, I don't think this guy knows what a lame duck is.
Right.
So I don't know whether one text is about the first guy or not, but these are the things I'm never sure about. Do we need to explain what a lame duck means? If that's not a common phrase?
Mm.
Are we slipping to that point where we need to explain what that means?
Possibly.
All right. That's disturbing.
Huh?
We're slipping.
We are. We're slipping.
Don't let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping.
That's right. A lame duck means that he doesn't have a contract beyond this year. He's,
right.
It's a common phrase. I don't have to do
it. No, it's okay. No, it's all right. Just keep working it. Having patience.
Why did you guys let Vita Vea go as quickly as you did? You should have allowed Vita a little bit more time on the air.
We should have.
That's true.
That's.
And then another person.
Really?
Somebody else asking, was that just Jeff Passan calling in with a masked voice to wonder why you don't give Jeff Passan a little
bit more
time?
I don't mean to be like Mr. Doomsday or anything.
It was. Jeff, stop calling our show in the middle of the week. I promise we'll talk to you
again next
week.
I don't know. I don't see a 90-something win team that they're putting out there on the field. Do you guys?
Yeah, a little bit, Jeff. Why do you want to be so negative about all this?
Their farm system is absolutely terrible.
Well, I'll tell you what, that absolutely terrible farm system netted them a couple of decent players last week, and they'll be playing against that former team. Tampa coming in tonight, 7:10 start, 6 o'clock pregame show here on 710 ESPN Seattle. The lines are still open. I think there's a line or two still there, 206-421-3776. Got at least one top five caller already on the line with a good question. There's a lot to go next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, 206-421-3776. That's our phone number. It's Brock and Salk. We'll answer questions here coming up in 15 minutes as we get ready for a little answer the question jerk. That'll be our final 15 minutes of the week, and then we will be out of here. But taking your calls, we've been doing every Friday, a little open phone lines, your chance to talk about what's on your mind. Interesting to see two top five callers right in a row here, Brock, on lines two and three, both calling about the same subject, and it's not a new subject. Let's try Kendall in Santa Monica first. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First of all, J.R. Smith is way worse than Chris Webber because J.R. Smith is a grown man.
That's a good Webber, point.
Like, hashtag truth.
He's like when you're 19, you don't know anything about anything.
I looked some of this up last night because I was just kind of curious. Do you know how many years J.R. Smith has been in the league?
What, 12?
J.R. Smith has been in the league for 14. This is his 14th season in the league. Do you know how many regular season games he's played in?
You're asking my kind of questions. Knock it off. You know the answers.
960 regular season games, wow. And a bunch of them, and then a bunch of playoff games, including finals experience. He's been in the league for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? All right.
Wow. And so related on that note, talking about basketball, do you guys remember when the Spurs lost to LeBron's Heat? And they lost in the most agonizing, heart-wrenching fashion, which happened with Tim Duncan missing a layup at the rim. And do you remember what happened the next year? They picked themselves off the mat. They made a collective commitment to each other that they were going to get back. And they went back and they eviscerated the Heat and basically sent LeBron back to Cleveland, right?
Yep.
So the reason I bring that up is because, you know, a couple of my friends and I, we started this text message thread the day after the 2014 Super Bowl. That was just our support group. And it was awful. And we were trying to process it. And, you know, finally we're moving away from that. And now we got Avril's comments coming out. about these guys. But it's like, you know what? Life is about how hard you get hit and how much you keep moving forward. And for these guys to pride themselves on being so tough, but to let one loss define them, as we move further and further away, I'm not sad to see these guys like Bennett and Sherman go. I'm glad they're gone, because if you can't pick yourself up after one loss, no matter how hard it is, that's life. And if you can't do that, then you don't deserve to be a senior.
Kendall, yeah, you say number two, and Roger's getting threatened. Thank you for the phone call, as always, from Santa Monica. Two things come to mind. We're sitting here, Kendall, down at the Seahawks facility today, and you mentioned the Spurs. Pete Carroll talked about how they reached out to them, how they read about them, how they studied Popovich and the culture of the Spurs, and how they were going to try to implement some of those things here. And ultimately, they couldn't, and they couldn't reach those guys.
Do you think that's a Pete problem?
I think some of that certainly falls on Pete. I think number two, and they're making somewhat of a response of it now, kind of resetting again this culture. Why do they take their shoes off after practice, walk across the length of the field barefoot and doing that? Why? Because that day is over. Mm-hmm. That event in that moment is done. You are not going to get it back. So what am I going to do if the Mariners lose Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I'm going to take my socks on and shoes off. I'm going to walk around my backyard. It's got a fair amount of grass.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come in and I'm going to say, that day is done. That game is gone. And I'm not going to get after my teenagers or little Tito because of my anger over
the
Mariners.
It's the best way to deal with a bad flight, right? You just walk around on the floor barefoot and make fists with your toes.
Sure. Maybe. Unless that flight's sitting there for 5 hours and there's garbage everywhere.
It's the beginning of Die Hard. Come on, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gosh,
get with the program.
Sorry.
I'll disagree with both you and Kendall on that,
okay.
And here's why. There's one major difference between the Spurs and the Seahawks, and it started long before that Super Bowl or that championship game. The Spurs are a team built on humility. That team was built on humility, on an unselfish Tim Duncan, on unselfish players, being humble and unselfish all the time.
This was
and
built?
When they lost,
yes.
Their humility was incredibly important and instrumental in them finding a way to
deal with
that
loss. Class, yes.
The Seahawks program, like it or not, was built on arrogance. Not necessarily Pete Carroll's, but on the players. It was built on bravado. It was built on Richard Sherman shouting at Aaron Andrews and Crabtree after the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
It was built on that. It was built on Michael Bennett riding his bicycle after the NFC Championship game.
Who was talking about you?
It was built on all of those things. And so whereas the Spurs...
Yeah.
It was
ingrained in their culture. Yes.
I'll give you a bad metaphor. The Spurs had a balloon that was not blown up and somebody pricked a hole in it, and then you could blow it up, but it would kind of sink and stuff. The Seahawks were a fully inflated balloon that somebody popped with a pin in that moment.
Yep.
And that is a different situation.
Solid. Solid analysis.
206-421-3776. Isaiah's in Yakima. Go ahead, Isaiah. Number three caller on our board. Yeah. What's up, Isaiah?
Not much. I guess Kendall and I are thinking of the same thing.
Well, you got to bring a little more energy this time, Isaiah. Pick it up a little bit. Let's go.
Well, my issue is this. Everyone talks about the final play and the time management and that they had one timeout. You know, why'd you throw the passing play that we've seen them do all year and execute all year, and they didn't. But yet nobody wants to talk about one of the opening drives in the third quarter of the possession. We drove all the way down. We had a third and one in the goal. We ran Marshawn and got stopped, so we had to settle for field goal. You know, that doesn't get talked about nearly as much. You know, that has to play in the mind of Bevel. And the other thing that I want to mention about, since Kendall brought up Sherman and those guys, you know, they're saying that now, but it's kind of like when I said that they gave Russell no credit.
Right.
They wanted to be viewed as the greatest defense of all time to ever play. And because of that final play of throwing the ball, it getting picked, they didn't get their second ring. Their ego,
but if Russell and Curse hadn't put them in a position for that, they would have been the laughingstock for giving up the last drive to Brady. So
again,
it's so frustrating.
Is that the defense, their ego was hurt because they allowed Brady to come back.
What would you have run?
Digit lead to hold on to, and they didn't.
Isaiah, what play would you have run from that play? Second and one from the one. What play do you run?
I would have liked to have ran the clock down more and then audible and just hand the ball off or let Russell take it in his own hands.
You hand the ball off, man. You hand the ball off and it doesn't work, and you just said it didn't work earlier. Now you got to call timeout. Now you got to throw on third down because you're out of timeouts. They know a throw is coming now. There's a decent chance you're now on fourth down to try to win the game. You okay with that?
I would take that chances because
over
that
a sprint out run
really
or something? Really?
Yeah, interesting.
It seems that it's really rushed.
Yeah, Isaiah, I would love for you and Salk to spend an afternoon at Miners over there in Yakima and just talk about this for hours and hours.
I could talk about the end of that. And then when we're done, let's go through the Game 6 of the 86 World Series.
That's right.
We go through all of
those. Well, and like Isaiah just said, we could go play Apple Tree, right? Go play some golf, too.
Kind of into that. Isaiah, maybe we'll make
that happen. These things may happen one day.
All right, 206-421-3776. Nathan's in Finney. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
First and foremost, anybody that's ever seen J.R. Smith play is not surprised by what happened last night. But the reason I'm calling is I want to encourage your tens of thousands of listeners right now, the true sports fans in Seattle, the true Mariner fans. Now is the time to get out and build the bandwagon. Repeat what the Seahawks did in 12, 13, 14. Make the Mariners relevant. Bring 25,000 fans during the week, sell out on the weekends. So many storylines, so easy to sell right now.
Well, school is going to be ending here over the next couple weeks, and, you know, attendance numbers do go up. Thank you, Nathan, for the phone call.
Last night's a pretty good example, though, I think, of what he's talking about. Last night was one of those games. It's a 6-1 victory. I mean, there's nothing really remarkable about that win last night, but you got to see a few of the things that have made the Mariners fun this year. You got to see D. Gordon triple early. You got to see – play me the sound. I think it's cut two, Kyle, or whatever it is, of D. Gordon scoring from third base. You got to see the energy, explosiveness, and just fun factor of D. Gordon last night on what really – really, in all other worlds, is just a bad pop-up by Gene Segura with a man on third base and one out and nobody
swinging
out.
And he pops one up into shallow right field. Coming in is Mazzara. He's there to make the catch, tagging Gordon, heading home. Here's the throw to the plate on the fly, down with the tag. Chirino safe at home is Gordon. Head first slide, he got the left hand in there. The throw was an outstanding throw by Mazzara. Chirinos, the catcher, got to it on the fly. Down with the tag. Gordon safe at home.
Just so fast and so aggressive and so much guts and the whole thing. And you get to see Nelly and just another powerful home run. I when their lineup is back at full strength as they are now, you know, basically, they really are a diverse lineup, man.
Hey, Nathan, if this team is still very relevant and in the race at the end of June, they will come. Because June is going to be a monster. May, they handled their business. Had the third best month of May in the franchise history, right? Going back to 01 and 03. So they handled their business in May. Now comes June, and now comes the truth.
The test.
Yeah, and here it comes. And I think I could say confidently, if they sit here and have any kind of June like they did May, or even a game or two above 500, Mike, and they're 14 above 500 at the end of June with that gauntlet, there's going to be some noise. It's going to get very loud.
Like the great William S. Bonney, alias Billy the Kid, said in Young Guns, you got to test yourself, gentlemen. You got to test yourself every day. And I'm sure they'll be doing that all through the month of June as well. All right, let's answer your question. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Good stuff there.
Test callers, they deliver.
On the callers.
Tested them, they deliver.
New top five exiting this week.
Yep.
Roger's still number one in Tacoma, then Kendall, Santa Monica. Isaiah is number three in Yakima. Brett in New York. Yep. Brock bumped into the number four spot.
Yep.
And Steve in T-Town hanging on right now for dear life as the number five caller. That will continue, of course, next week.
Kendall's pushing.
Text messages, 710-710. And any question you like, we'll answer it next on Brock and Salk.
You have to test yourself every day, gentlemen. Once you stop testing yourself, you get slow.
Slow.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Everybody, question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer your questions. Bunch of sports questions today, although not entirely. We've got a little mix of everything in here.
Okay.
And then Howdy's got a little something for us. We'll see if we can get to it here before the end of the show. So, all right, let's go. Answering your question, 710-710, powered by Coors Light, as we do at the end of every show. I like this one. Jerks, applesauce. Can you eat it without chewing? Do you chew applesauce? Do you kind of slurp applesauce?
Yeah, probably more slurp, kind of like an oyster. I think there's a comparison to be made. It depends if it's got
chunks in it.
A little chunky, but I'm not a big applesauce guy.
I like applesauce.
Do you really?
I'll tell you, my grandmother.
Pork chops and applesauce.
My grandmother Do you know that from the original or just from the Brady Bunch?
I don't know.
That's what he had to say in the Brady Bunch. Remember, yes. Peter Brady got all into saying, pork chops,
pork chops, snap a size. Pork chops, snap a size. Sounds like a new PD, I know. Pork chops, snap a size.
Grandmother used to make unbelievable homemade applesauce.
Oh, really? And pork chops?
No.
No, not pork chops.
Jewish family.
Oh, my bad.
No pork chops.
Sorry.
Next question.
A little cinnamon in it?
Yeah, cinnamon, yeah. Cloves
now, there
would
you
be
go.
Key.
There
a lot
you
of
go.
Cloves.
The standard stuff. Fare applesauce, not great. No. Homemade, I bet, would be pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good?
Jerks, is Guillermo Heredia a bad base runner? He seems to get thrown out in a lot of situations. Is he just too aggressive?
Mm.
You know, he got thrown out. I think he's a good base runner. He got thrown out last night, and I didn't have a problem with it at all. Made the second out of the inning at third base, and those happen sometimes. That's when you want to be aggressive. You're going to make some outs. That's fine. You generally want your team to be aggressive in the right spots.
Gallo made a good play on that, too.
He did. But more than anything, with one out, if you're going to try to get to third base, okay, fine. Go try to get to third base. And, by the way, I thought he had a heads-up play. He knew he was going to get thrown out once it became clear. He backed up and tried to make sure to give time to Segura to get to second base so that if he was going to be toast, at least the guy. I think his awareness is excellent. Mm. I think he's a really smart
hitter. Still make the first or third out at third base.
But he didn't. Made the second out. So. No. I thought he was. I think he's a very good base runner.
Can I just say thank you to the caller who just called today? Didn't want to get on the air, but just wanted to pronounce Guillermo Heredia to me and then just. Said, all right, have a good day.
Thanks, so, Lydia.
Thank you to that call.
Guillermo Heredia.
He texted Heredia yesterday and asked, right, if that could get him into the top five.
Yeah, Guillermo Heredia.
Come on, if you don't give your name.
How about one that said, I don't want to be top five? I want to be bottom five.
Well, then text.
Beta male. Beta male.
He still wants to be identified in some significant way.
Right.
Okay, question for...
Texters are competing in a race to the bottom.
Question for the baseball savants out there. Next question. Here you go. Does
next
batting
question.
Order matter? And I bring that up because my gut, my eye has said Haniger struggled a little bit hitting in that third hole. Should that be any issue? And then you go to the numbers and stats. Mitch Haniger this season batting sixth, has about 22 games under his belt. Batting third, has now 16 games under his belt. Batting sixth, Mike, I'm looking at an average of .303, an on base of .368, an OPS of over a grand. Batting third, I'm looking at .217, .288, slash line of an OPS of .638. Nearly 400 points, and that's about 66 plate appearances versus 87. Does that matter? Is that just funky? Is that crazy? Should that have any batting order significance?
I think that's probably a small enough sample that he got hot or cold at various times. But, if that plays its way out over a season, yeah.
And
is he trying to do too much?
DePoto also said that he's been moved around more than any other one player.
Yeah, so four games hitting second, 16 games hitting third, 9 games hitting fourth, 4 games hitting fifth, 22 games hitting sixth. Yeah, to your point, Lydia and Jerry's. Yeah, he's moved around a bunch. But this three spot, since Robbie's been out, he's kind of filled it, has not been nearly as productive as the others. That's a watch.
Jerks, does the name of the color of paint matter when choosing paint?
Absolutely.
Okay, for example, Kyle?
For example, I still remember when we painted my buddy Dan Peck's room a popcorn kernel and dusty jeans back in '07.
Guess it matters. Can't argue with that.
You got a favorite?
I don't
dusty
know.
Dusty jeans, that's pretty
good. Pretty
good.
Yeah, that's very descriptive.
I think with cars, car manufacturers, right, really try to one-up with their new... unique colors.
Who's the first question sales guest always want to, what color are you looking for?
Right.
I don't know. It's the last thing on my mind.
You think it distinguishes you?
I
in
don't
any
know.
Way?
I've never really thought that much about that.
Huh, interesting.
Jerks, speaking
next
of cars.
Car. Green, interesting. Green
hand wash car. Your car or take your car to a car wash?
Yeah, car wash.
I used to love, when I was a kid, I used to love washing the cars.
Uh-huh.
Used to do it all the time. Get the hose out, get some soap, a bucket, rags, the whole thing. I used to wash my parents' cars all the time. I loved it. But I don't have a driveway, so my car sits out on the street. So it's just, I don't have a,
and
I'm not in a good situation.
You know what he had as a kid?
Time.
Yeah,
right? That's true.
Yeah, you had time. Wasn't it Gaylord Faulkner that had the green rental car? And didn't the father-in-law make a judgment on it? Was it the car color that was green? Oh, genius. Oh, great. Color of Genius. Was it? Am I mistaken?
I don't remember. It's not a movie that I got.
Oh, you don't like that movie. You
that's
don't
okay.
like Meet the Parents. No, you don't like
no,
it.
No, I liked it.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny.
Okay.
It's just not a movie I remember very well. Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was funny.
Can you milk me?
I remember that.
Okay.
That I remember.
Next question.
Jerks, have you ever seen pulling the goalie actually work in the NHL? Yes.
Yeah.
Many times. Not all the time. I mean, it's not like a guarantee you're going to score a goal.
Not that often. I don't think I ever have. I've watched a limited number of games, but I've never seen it work.
I've watched more than that, and I've seen it work. But it's hard. I mean, it's really hard to score.
And there was go ahead,
Lydia.
Great Blues game this year where they pulled the goalie, and in the last 2.4 seconds, Vladimir Tarasenko scored, and it was just everything that you
live for. It's such a great moment, isn't it? It's so awesome. When you do score with the goalie pulled, it is a fantastic moment. It's really cool. I like when the teams are down two and they start pulling the goalie at like 2.5, 3 minutes. Like, oh, whatever, we got to give this a shot.
I like it when the goalie's standing on his head.
That's good, too.
That's fun to watch.
That's pretty fun. All right, so earlier today we were talking about WKRP in Cincinnati.
Because of Lonnie Anderson,
of
course.
One of the all-time great TV theme
songs. One of Clayton's crushes.
And so Howdy apparently got to work creating our own version of the WKRP theme. What does it sound like, Howdy?
710 ESPN. We're the home of the Mariners. We're the Seahawks station. We're the pride of the nation. And we don't employ one single Jason. Listen online or download the app. Just watch the Gross take naps while Bob gets mad. Get that advice on bets from Jim Moore. Or go way too in-depth on glutes with Brock Huard. We've got John Clayton. He's got his own day. So that's why you join us from dusk until dawn. 710 ESPN.
Oh, that is awful.
That's crazy.
That is the worst thing you've ever done.
That's way to go, Howdy.
That is terrible.
Right,
that is awful.
We're playing that every day, baby.
That's your comp to WKRP?
Yes.
That sounded great.
That's the way we're going to end our week.
Proud of you, Howdy.
I thought we had a good week.
Proud of you.
Oh, talk about ending on a sour note. I feel like I've got bitter beer face.
Clayton's got his own day. He's got his own show next, too.
Stick around for John. Have a great weekend. Head down to Safeco. Watch the Mariners try to take a couple games here from Tampa. We'll catch you guys Monday morning, 7 a.m. to talk about it all. Till then, the hay.
And King, you best be good on Sunday. We're going to be talking about you Monday because the hay's in the barn.
See you, everybody.
The excitement in Seattle is insane. It's insane.
Get to the chopper!